Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The first hymn you picked today was, I think, must have been providential, because today we celebrate the feast of St. Lawrence, deacon and martyr. He's the one who would reportedly, he's a patron of cookouts and barbecues, because he's the one who said, when he was martyred, burnt, he said, turn me over, I'm done. Turn me over to the other side. I think that was under Diocletian, the emperor at that time. And then the past week, then we had the transfiguration of our Lord.
Right.
A picture of the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. So when we say the summary of the law, it's good to have that picture in our mind, him in white and glistering, showing his full God, his godliness, his deity. And then Moses and Elijah staying to his side, thus fulfilling the law and the prophets. I try to keep a picture of that in mind when I read the Decalogue and when I read the summary of the law. It's all there, all of it. 613 laws distilled in the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments distilled once again in the summary of the law. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. 613, 10, and then 2. And God did it all for us, and he fulfilled all that when he went to the cross. The teaching of the church for these Sundays after Trinity is always a very practical Christianity, setting always before us the practical demands of our life as Christians. How must we as Christians live in this world? What must be our attitudes? What must be the character of our relationships with one with another? What must be our hope? What must be our expectations? What must be our conduct in this or that situation? This is also the season of the Holy Spirit, which began, of course, with the Feast of Pentecost, Whitsunday. The season of the Holy Spirit, where we come to learn about how we use both Holy Scripture and the power of the Holy Ghost to reorient our lives and deepen our relationship with God. How are we to live? How we are to live are practical questions. And the Scripture lessons for Trinity season, all through this Trinity season, speak to such questions in a profoundly practical way. But of course, the answers are really practical for us only insofar as we think seriously about their meaning and relate that meaning to the concrete circumstances of our lives as individuals and as community. We go out from here as individuals. We come here as community. No one can really do that for us. These lessons will be meaningful for us only insofar as we give them our thoughtful and prayerful attention. Only insofar as we are ready to open our minds and hearts to God's word for us here and now in the practical circumstances of our life. What you're all going through with your wives and everything, you know, with godly assistance and ghostly experience, you're dealing with what I'm dealing with. And these lessons help us to, as they would say, muddle through them, but with the assistance of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus reminds us in the parable of the sower, the word of God is like seed and sown in our hearts. That seed must be cherished and nourished and cultivated if it is to bring forth fruit. It must not be starved by neglect or choked by the weeds and thorns and thistles of the world's business and distractions. So we should not just hear these lessons in church Sunday after Sunday. We must also ponder them. Think about these lessons, you know, what I've read today. Reflect on them, as I did this morning, so that I would have, you know, sort of the backdrop to share what they say to you, say to me. So we must ponder them day by day, in our hearts day by day, think about them and pray about them and try to conform our lives to what they teach. Only if we can do that will they become genuinely practical for us. This is why daily prayer and time with Holy Scripture is so important. It reminds us of our relationship with the Lord. I can attest to the fact of reading scriptures that I've read over and over again. And just this morning, the reading in the lectionary for Luke, there was something new in it. I hadn't really pondered that before. So there's always something new because the Word of God is incredibly alive. Though the ink dried 3,000 years ago for a lot of it, it's still just as fresh as if the ink wasn't dry. Think about the lessons appointed for today. The epistle lesson from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. The apostle speaks of our divine relationship to him and our life in the Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But who are they led by the Spirit of God? These are those who are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the manner of the flesh. That is to say, those who are free from worldly conformities and live a life and use this world for the glory of God, they are led by the Spirit. The old saying, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We live in the world, but we are not of the world. It reminds me of my father. I was born in Philadelphia, and he had a den, with books and everything, and a big bust of Robert E. Lee and a battle flag below it. And finally, I got up the nerve and said, Dad, we live in Philadelphia. He says, we're in Philadelphia, but not of it. They are the sons of God. That is, of course, the very basis and starting point of our practical life as Christians. What we could never do for ourselves, God does for us. See, beloved Saint John, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What manner of love? Not the spirit of servitude, says the epistle, not the spirit of servitude, of slaviness, but a spirit of sonship, in which we cry aloud, Abba, Father. And it takes us, me back, at least, back to being servants. On Maundy Thursday, when our Lord took the girl that he was and took the towel that he had and washed the disciples' feet. He was master, but more than that, at that point, he was servant to them all, as we should be. That is to say, we live not in the bondage of fear and constraint, but we live in the free and willing obedience of God's household as members and heirs of the kingdom of God. And we find our peace in his will. We are the children of God, and our gospel lesson from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount reminds us that we fulfill that calling by doing the will of the Father. The lesson is really a very direct and simple one. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. The point is really very simple. We live as we do. We act as we do because of the kind of people we are. Saying, Lord, Lord, is not enough. The call word, he says, Lord, Lord. And they say, depart from me, I knew you not. Even though they said, Lord, Lord, because they used a name, but they didn't know him. So when we say, Lord, Lord, is not enough, we must be different people. Redeemed by him on the cross and our conversion to him as we know him as our Lord and Savior, as we promised at our confirmation. And led by the Spirit of God, living in obedience to God's will, the messages for Trinity season give us practical guidance for living that way as children of God and heirs of his kingdom. And we learn that it's only by the gift of God's Spirit that life in such a way is possible. That's why when we talk about blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you know, some people call Jesus cursed. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, it's an unpardonable sin. And it's because it is the Holy Ghost that convicts us of our sin. It's because the Holy Ghost that we're engrafted in the church at baptism and in our confirmation, we receive special gifts of the Holy Ghost to live as men and women fighting manfully for the banner of Christ. As ordained clergy, we receive other gifts of the Holy Ghost to fulfill what God wants us to do in His church. We can be easily convinced that our desires, our wishes, our feelings are always paramount, and that the guides of Holy Scripture or the leading of the Holy Spirit are not necessary in our living of our life each day. It's easy to fall into that. In our busy and hurried lives, we will get around to God when it's convenient for us, when I feel like it. Looking to God when we are in doubt, or if we're unsure of the path ahead of us, is part of the relationship we have with Him, the Spirit will tell us. Our loving Father is always there to guide us, show us the path, and hold us up when we stumble. He is there to protect us from the dangers of the world that would separate us from Him. In our daily lives, let us look to Him and His words said in a prayer. And as in our collect today, we place ourselves in the presence of God and ask, as I say again, O God, whose never failing providence orders all things, both in heaven and earth, we humbly beseech Thee to put away from us all hurtful things and to give us those things which are profitable for us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.